This week is Parshas Mitzora, and it's also Shabbos HaGadol. Okay, so we have over here a special Shabbos. The Parsha begins. There are what? Shabbos HaGadol. What did I say? Shabbos. This week is Shabbos HaGadol. Special Haftorah. We do not take out another Sefer Torah. We only have one Sefer Torah, but we have a special Haftorah. The Haftorah of Eliyahu Hanavi. Hine Anochi Yishlech Lechem Eis Eliyahu Hanavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VeHanoira. Now there are a lot of similarities. There are a lot of parallels in Parshas Mitzora to Shabbos HaGadol. In fact, we mentioned this in the last few weeks, that it seems that in a year, in a leap year, all of the parashios have many more parallels with the Dalet parashios and Shabbos HaGadol than if the parasha would have been an ordinary parasha, if it would have been a regular year, we would group together multiple parashios. In other words, in the year that's a leap year, almost all the time, Parshas Mitzora is Shabbos HaGadol. The parasha begins with, the tahara of the mitzora. Vayidaber Hashem el Shlomo, zois tia toras hamitzora biyoyim tohorosoi v'huvo el hakohen, he shall be brought to the kohen. Now we know part of the process of the tahara is to take the ezoif and the eres and to dip it into blood and to sprinkle the blood upon the head of the mitzora. It's not a coincidence that in Yitzias Mitzrayim, something very similar was done. We were told to shech the Korban Pesach and to take the Ezoif and to dip the Ezoif into the dam and to sprinkle that blood, to take the blood of the Ezoif and apply it to the Mezuzos HaPesach. So indeed, the Mefarshim say, this is not my idea, the Mefarshim say is that Yitzias Mitzrayim, the coming out of Mitzrayim, in one respect, is a tahara, is the concluding process of tahara of a mitzora. Now, what does that mean? If we go back to the beginning of the Golos, the Shibud, the Torah tells us Moshe Rabbeinu was in Mitzrayim. He was raised in the palace of Paro, and he went out. He went to see what was doing, and he saw Make Ish Mitzri, Make Ish Ivri Me'achov. He killed the Mitzri, and the next day it says Vayar Shnei Anoshim Ivrim Nitzim Vayomer Lo Rosha Loma Sakere Echa. And then the person responded, Hal Hargeni Ato Oimer, are you going to kill me Kasher Harakta Es HaMitzri? Are you going to kill me with your Koyach HaDibor the same way you killed the Mitzri? And then we have the response of Moshe Rabbeinu, speaks volumes about the Shibud of Mitzrayim, Vayomer Ochein Noida Hadovar. The matter is known. The simple understanding is that the matter is known. Everyone, I thought that when I killed the Mitzri yesterday, no one was watching. I was all alone. Little did I know that I was under surveillance. People know that I killed the Mitzri. Word will now get out. I will be held accountable. I'm a fugitive. I have no choice but to run away to Midian, to Yisro, to run away and save my life. But on a deeper level, Ochein Noida Hadovar, Rashi says, now I understand why there is Tsoros. Now I know why there is a Shibud, because we have among us informers, the Latrain. We have among us people that speak Lashon Hara. They speak Lashon Hara, and they are telling other people what's going on. The fact that you're speaking like this to me, and this information has been leaked to the public, it goes to show that we are in a very bad situation. I now know why there is a Golus. In other words, the Shoresh of Golus comes from Lashon Hara. We know that the Churban Bayisheni, the primary sin of the Bayisheni was the chait of Sinas Chinam. All Sinas Chinam is rooted in Lashon Hara. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw that the Shibud of Mitzrayim was also rooted in Lashon Hara. Ochein Noida Hadavar. I now understand why Klal Yisrael is suffering. There are informers among us. People are saying Lashon Hara. They're revealing information that's not supposed to be revealed. and when Klal Yisrael finally lifts themselves out of this tzara, many years later, what is the last thing that needs to be done in order for us to leave Mitzrayim? Hashem instructs us to take the Ezoiv, to dip it into blood, and to apply it to the doorposts of our homes. That's very similar to what is done to the Mitzorah. The Mitzorah, the primary chait for why one suffers saras, Chazal say, comes from being Moitze Shemra. Mitzorah is Rosh Tevas Motzi Shemra. And just like the Tahar for the Mitzorah is to take the Ezoif and the Eres, and to wrap it in the Shni Toilish, to wrap it in the Lashon Shal Zachoris, and dip it in the blood, and sprinkle it upon the Mitzorah, likewise, to some degree, in a similar fashion, that was what Klal Yisrael needed to do before they left Mitzrayim, to show that they had been purified from the chait of the Motze Shem Ra. For that reason, we also are well aware that Pesach is Nutrikin Pesach. The mouth speaks. Another similarity. A similarity we have when the parsha begins, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemot Zoyz Tiyah Teres Hamet Sobiyom Teres Vavo L'Koyin. He goes out, and really it's not this week's parasha, but in the last week's parasha, when the tzaras appears, it says the word Haggadah. The word Haggadah appears in the Nega. V'higid Adam ki yihyeh. Okay, the word Haggadah appear in this week's parasha. By the Nigei Bias, maybe. Here it is, right here. Vaydaber ki savohu el eretz kenan, asher ani nosim lachem lachuzo, v'nosati nega tzatz v'veiz eretz achuzaschem, uvo ashelo habayis, v'higid lakoyhein. It's very interesting that the word Haggadah appears on Par Shabbos Haggadah. And in fact, the meaning is to say the Haggadah on Shabbos HaGadol after Mincha. So what is the connection? So the connection is because let's just tie this idea now. Is in the beginning of this section of the Nigei Batim, Rashi uses a very interesting word. Okay, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Pasuk Lamedal is ki sovohu el eretz kanan asher ani nosein lachem lachuzo v'nosati nega tzaras v'veis eretz achuzaschem. Rashi, besorohi lohem. Good news. This is good news. It would seem that having a nega in the bayis is bad news. It's harmful. No. Besorah is a word which means good news. It's to hear that there is a nega in the bayis. Why? Shehanegoyim bom aleim, that negoyim have come upon them. Lufi shehitminu amoriim matmonios shel zohav bikiros boteim kol arboim shana shahayu yisrael b'amidbar. Because the 40 years that Klal Yisrael was in the desert, the amoriim were aware that the Jewish people may come and conquer the land, so they hid treasures in the walls of their homes so it should not be taken by the Jewish people. And there was no way that a member of Klal Yisrael would know that buried inside the wall of their home was a treasure. And it's only because they were Negoim, they had to take apart, demolish their homes, and when they demolished their homes, they discovered the treasures inside their homes, and they were able to support themselves from these treasures. So it turns out that the Nega is really has a silver lining, it's good news. The problem is, Enochinani, it's true, at the very end you'll find a treasure. But until you get to that point, it is such a great bizoyon. If Hashem wants you to be successful and be rich, Hashem can do this without going through this very uncomfortable situation of abandoning your house, locking up your house, calling the Kohen to come inspect the house. When you call the Kohen, people begin to murmur and they say, why is the Kohen here? It must be the person, he did Averos, he spoke Lashon Hara, he was stingy, he did not want to lend his utensils to his friends. People are going to begin to talk. There's a lot of humiliation that comes along with having a nega in the bayis. Okay, at the very end of the day it comes out, good news, good things have happened. We found here, we demolished the home after a long process, we found the treasure, I have now enough money to support all of my grandchildren in Koilel for the next 100 years. Wonderful. But was it really worth it? If Hashem wanted me to be wealthy, He could have done this. There's nothing HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do. He could have brought about this wealth through other means. I could have been successful in business. I could have had a good job. I could have won the lottery. There are many different ways HaKadosh Baruch Hu could provide me with parnasa for my family. Why did it have to come about this method where I was humiliated by having a nega in my bias? My bias was quarantined for a long period of time through multiple inspections, and ultimately they came, the demolition crew came to knock down the house. So the answer is because Elu the Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, you deserved it also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is precise. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu does something, there is reward and punishment at the same moment in time. If there was humiliation, it was because there was a reason for the humiliation. But it's also true that you deserved reward, you deserved something good. And that was not denied from you. What is the Haggadah? Haggadah is Maschil Bignus Umesayin B'Shevach. You start with what is harsh, and you conclude with what is good. We started out as Oivdei Avodah Zarah, as Mitchila Oivdei Avodah Zarah Hoyu Avoseinu, and because we were Oivdei Avodah Zarah, we suffer the consequences. There was bitterness. Vayemoru Es Chayim B'Avodah Kasha. The bitterness was a blessing in disguise. It was a silver lining. It was for us the Kor Hamivchan. It purified us. It purified our character. It made us a receptacle to be the Avdei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. V'Achrechein Yeitzu B'Ruchush Gadol. The Ruchush Gadol was only possible because of Vayimar Es Chayim, but Vayimar Es Chayim was a punishment for Mitchila Avdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. All of this is captured in the word Haggadah. V'gadatam Levincha Bayom Alhu Leimar. Haggadah is a word, it's a complex word, it doesn't just mean give a simple answer. Haggadah includes, we learn from this Haggadah that you're going from the very beginning to the very end, from Genus to Shvach, and everything that it encompasses, which means the world is a complex place. In every single thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, there is good, there is bad, there is reward, there is punishment, there is a complex mix. And that's exactly what is happening in the Nigei Batim. The Nigei Batim results ultimately the Achrei Chen Yeitzu B'Ruchush Gadol. There are matrimonials, there is this treasure, it's good news, it's a besorah. But to get to the good news, you have to go through a long, difficult process, a painful process, a humiliating process. And that everything is just. That's Sur Tan and Paluki Chol Derach of Mishpat. And all of this is captured with the way the Torah describes Nigi Batim, with the word Vihigid Lakoihein Lemar Kinega Nirliba Bois. What appears to be a Kinega, it's not going to be a nega at the end, because the end it's going to be a matmoin. But in the meantime, it's vayimor es chayem. That's all captured in the word Haggadah. And that's the most to take out of Parashas Mitzvayra for Shabbos Haggadol. We're coming to Shabbos. Shabbos Haggadol is the time of Hachonah for Pesach. In fact, we read the Haggadah on Shabbos Mincha. What is Haggadah? If you want to know what Haggadah is all about, study the parash of Nigei Batim. Nigei Batim is where you're going to see the Besorah, you're going to see the process, you're going to see the complex way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and that's all part of the complex nature of Yitzias Mitzrayim and bringing the Geula. And for that matter, you can go just a step further, this word Besora is also used exclusively in reference to Eliyahu HaNavi. HaRachamon Mishlach Lanu Es Eliyahu HaNavi Zochor LaTov V'Vaser Lanu Besorois Toivos Yeshuos V'Nechamos. He should be Mevaser Besorois Toivos. That's the word, that's the key words twice in reference to Eliyahu HaNavi, and that's exactly the word that's been used over here in Rashi to describe what happens when there's a nega in the bayis. Basoira hi lohem. It's good news. But is it really good news to have a nega in your bias? The average person will tell you it's not good news to have a nega in the bias. I have to demolish my home. I have to be quarantined. I have to suffer this humiliation. The word besoira does not mean pure good news. It means there's good news at the end. Just stay the course. Maintain that faith. That's the more precise meaning of the word besoira.
Besoros
Tovos, Yeshuos v'nechamos. But Eliyahu Hanavi, Hinei Anochish Olam Eis, Eliyahu Hanavi, Lifnei Bo, Yom HaShem, there's going to be Chevle Leida. We know that to be so. We have already experienced in history enormous pangs of labor, the Chevle Leida. Besora, we see from this week's parasha, does not mean pure good news. It's purely good news, but it's a process to get to that pure good news. That's crystal clear in the parasha of the Nigei Botim. And that has to be extracted and applied to the Haftorah, Hinei Anochish, which Chazal describe his coming as the Vaser Lanu Besaros Tavos Yeshuos V'Nechamos, and that's also packaged with the theme of the Gid LaKoyen Lamar. Tell the Kohen, this entire process of bringing out the Besorah is what exactly we do when we recite the Haggadah. Okay, let's go to another idea relating to Shabbos Haggadah. Why is it called Shabbos Haggadah? Why can't we call it Shabbos HaKaton? Why can't we call it just it's the Shabbos of Eliyahu? What is the significance of Gadol? So there are many, many answers. One of the common answer is that it was a very great miracle happened on this day. It was the 10th day of Nisan, that particular year, and we were instructed to take for ourselves the Korban Pesach for 4 days, to inspect the animal for 4 days to make sure it has no blemish, and the animal, the sheep, is the Avodah Zarah of the Egyptians, and there was a concern that the Egyptians would take revenge for us taking their Avodah Zarah in public and tying it to our beds and declaring we're going to slaughter this in 4 days from now. It was a very great miracle that they did not kill us. They did not harm us. And therefore, it's called Shabbos HaGadol. That's probably the most popular explanation of why it's called Gadol, the Nes HaGadol that occurred, that they did not harm us for taking their Avodah Zarah and preparing it for the slaughter. Another answer, which I want to focus on a little bit more, is that there's another Shabbos, and that is Pesach. Pesach is called in the Torah Shabbos. Ulekachtem lochem min mocharas ha-Shabbos miyoyim haviyachem esoimer. You'll count the Mochar of Shabbos, which means the first day Chol HaMoed is when we bring the Omer, and that's when we begin to count the 50 days, the day after the first day Pesach. So the first day Pesach in the Torah is called Shabbos. So therefore, that Shabbos is not a day where you're not allowed to do melacha. On Yom Tif, Me'ikar HaDil Yom Tif, you're allowed, Ach Asher Ye'osel L'chol Nefesh Hu Levado Ye'osel L'chol Asher Ye'ochel Ach Asher Ye'ochel L'chol Nefesh Hu Levado Ye'osel L'chem. If you need to eat food on Pesach, you're allowed to cook. So that, but it's called Shabbos. Tomorrow is the Shabbos that comes before Pesach. You're not allowed to do melacha. You're not allowed to clean for Pesach tomorrow. You're not allowed to cook for Pesach. So therefore, the Kiddush of tomorrow is greater than the Kiddush of Pesach. Obviously, this year it does not work out like that, because this year the first day Pesach is Shabbos, so Pesach is also the seventh day of the week. But generally, Pesach does not need to be on the first day on Shabbos. So therefore, Pesach is a Shabbos koton relative to the Shabbos of Gadol. Now, using this idea, I want to go a step further. I want to go a step further, and that is, what event took place in our history on the 10th day of Nisan? What major event took place? The crossing of the Yarden. What is the significance that we crossed the Yarden? We have entered into Eretz Yisrael. Entering into Eretz Yisrael is the fulfillment of the fifth expression of Geula. The Otsesi, the Itzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti, the Hevesi. Do we commemorate the Lashon Vehevesi? Well, some do. Some have the custom to add, but some explain that the Koish Shel Eliyahu indeed is the fifth cup Shel Vehevesi. We fill it up, but we don't drink it, because there's a suffix in Machlokes in the Gemara. Should you have four cups? Should you have five cups? So we have a Pshara. We fill up the fifth cup, but we don't drink the fifth cup, and we call it the Koish Shel Eliyahu, because this will be fulfilled in its entirety, that will come into Eretz Yisrael in a state of safety and security, and will full Shleimus in the time of Mashiach with Eliyahu Hanavi Vehevesi. Tomorrow, I want to suggest, is the fifth cup. Pesach is the Shabbos HaKotan, because Pesach is the first four, V'yotzeisi, V'yitzalti, V'go'alti, V'lokachti. But the ultimate is the Hevesi. That's going to be the Shabbos HaGodol. Tomorrow is the Shabbos before Pesach, which is a commemoration of what took place on the 10th day of Nisan. Even though every year the Shabbos before Pesach does not necessarily the 10th day of Nisan, but it commemorates the first Shabbos HaGadol, which indeed was the 10th day. And what event would take place on the 10th day of Nisan, crossing the Yarden, which is Vehevesi. You know, it's like, I don't know if you ever go on, you ever see outside of a restaurant where they have a sign, or maybe they don't have a sign, it's come to a restaurant and they ask you, what would you like to eat? They give you the menu, and they say, could I please see the dessert menu first? Before you serve the appetizer and the main course, I want to have dessert. Life is uncertain. I don't know what's going to be in 15 minutes from now, so you know what? Let's start with dessert. Life is uncertain, start with dessert. That's exactly what we're doing tomorrow. Tomorrow, instead of waiting for the Hevesi, for the Koshel Eliyahu, we start tomorrow with dessert. Shabbos HaGadol commemorates the 10th day of Nisan. The 10th day of Nisan is when Klal Yisrael crossed into Eretz Yisrael. That was a token fulfillment of what's going to be the ultimate crossing of the Yarden for us at the time of Mashiach, when we come into Eretz Yisrael and we commemorate the ultimate Vehevesi. Pesach, small potatoes compared to this. Because Pesach is only 1, 2, 3, 4. The Yotzeis, the Yitzalti, the Gualti, the Lekachti. The goal, the ultimate goal, is the Koshel Eliyahu. It's Shabbos HaGadol because we're focusing Soif Maisa, the Machshava Techila. What the ultimate priority of where we're heading is going to be presented tomorrow. There's a lot of mussar in that. When you ever have a plan, you have a mahalach, a seder. What is a seder all about? It is a process. Seder means order. You go step, 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 step. What's the goal? Where are you going? What's the end? The end is nirtza. The end is nirtza. But there's more than nirtza. There is really the geula, the hevesi, coming into Eretz Yisrael. You have to have your priorities in order. It's extremely frustrating in life when you live in an abstract world, when you don't have goals. The goals have to be clearly defined in order to proceed and succeed and to move forward. Before we come to Pesach, we define the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is Vehevesi. Now that we know our ultimate goal, it's the Shabbos HaGadol. We can come to the Shabbos HaKaton, what is small, which comes until that, the first one, Vehevesi. Okay, so we have basically, we presented over here basically three ideas about Shabbos HaGadol and its relationship, and Shabbos HaGadol. The first idea is the Metzora. Tomorrow we're coming to a day, the parasha opens up in the essence of what Pesach is all about. It's the Tahara of the Metzora. Zos Tiyeh Toras HaMetzora. Who is the Metzora? Klal Yisrael is the Metzora. Achein Noida HaDovar. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I know why there is no Geula, I know why there are Tzoros. It's because there are informers, there are people in Klal Yisrael who are Moitzei Shem Ra. And that's exactly what we suffer from today. That's why the Bayis Shlishi has not yet been built, because of the chet of Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is rooted in Lashon Hara. Pesach is another opportunity to be mechazik in Lashon Hara, to bring the Geula. It's a time of Zos Tiyeh Toras HaMetzora B'yoyim Tohar Asoi, when we are cleansed from the chet of Lashon Hara. And part of the process, Utvaltem Basof, to dip the Ezef, to do exactly what we do to the Metzora, we do to our bayis in preparation for the Korban Pesach. This is what we do for the bayis. The bayis has to be a bayis without sinas chinam, without lashon hara, in order to bring the tahara of the mitzora. The second idea we presented is the besoira. The besoira toiva is a process. It's not just a flash of good news. It's a bittersweet good news. There's a process. It does not come easy. It comes with difficulty. If there's no pain, no gain. And this idea is clearly expressed in the parish of the Nige Bayis. Nige Bayis also alludes, by the way, to the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, on Tisha B'Av, there is an entire kina that is devoted to the theme that there is a nega in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the ultimate bayis, and the kohen comes along and he sees, it's towards the end of the kinos. Many shuls don't get to say that kina, because it's too late in the day, so there's not enough time to say that kina. It's a very beautiful kina where there's a nega in the bayis. Whose bayis? In the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore Hashem says, I have no choice but to demolish the Beis HaMikdash. There was a silver lining. There was a besor in Hashem demolishing the Beis HaMikdash. What was the silver lining in demolishing the Beis HaMikdash? We survived. Hashem poured out His anger on 8-7 and we survived. That's also the theme over here of this week's parasha. Nige Batim. Besorah. Besorah means the good news is in the silver lining. It's all the Higid LaKoyein. It's what we're going to do on Pesach, Haggadah. We're going to relate this entire discussion of rebuilding the Bayis Shlishi, the Beis HaBechiru, L'chaper Al Avnoseinu, through Haggadah, to bring about the Besorah Toiva of the Acher Chen Yetzu B'Rechush Gadol. And that's hinted to in the Eliyahu HaNavi of Hinei Anochi Shalech Lechem Eis Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu is called the Mevaser Besoros Tomos Yeshuas V'Nechamos. And the third idea is Soif Maisa Machshava Tchila. We have Haggadah, we have first the Vehevesi, Shabbos Haggadah is Vehevesi, before we can come to the Yotzeisi, the Yitzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti. Okay, now let's go to some other ideas in the parasha. We know that Chumash Vayikra is the Chumash of choice for Tinoikos Shel Beis Raban. We don't do this today. Today it's not the practice. But in the time of Chazal, the first things children were taught was Chumash Vayikra. Now, first pasuk. So today we do a token symbolic fulfillment. The first thing they teach a child is a pasuk in Vayikra. And then they go to Mereshus Bara Elokim. Why did Chazal say that children should study and master Chumash Vayikra? I would guess it's because it's the hardest thing. It's the hardest thing. Eskabal Koyre. What's the hardest Chumash? By far, Chumash Vayikra. Chumash Vayikra takes at least triple the amount of preparation than any of the other Chumashim. Other Chumashim are much easier than Chumash Vayikra. Each parasha is a real struggle. It's not a light matter. Just like it's hard in words, it's very difficult to master the concepts of all the parashiyos of Tumas Negoyim, Saras, Tum of the Tahara, the Teichacha, all the different inyanim, Kurbanos are extremely complex. Kachim, who learns Kachim? You have to go to a Beriska Kodol to learn Kachim. The elite learns Kachim. It's not an easy matter. Children, you want to, when they're still pure, you want to get them on the right path, you teach them the most difficult thing. But that's not what Chazal say. Chazal said the reason why you teach children Chumash Vayikra first, Yovoi Tohoirim V'yasoik P'taharas. Let the pure ones come be Isaac in matters of Tahara. Everything in Chumash Vayikra deals with purity. Tahara, Korbanos, in Yonim of Saras, the Tahara from Saras. So the pure ones should come be Isaac in these holy matters. Now, if you're going to learn the Chumash Vayikra, is this Taharais, and you're teaching this to children, so we have a right to assume that the most intense chelik of Vayikra is the center of Vayikra. And indeed, in this week's parasha, we come to the pasuk that is the middle pasuk of Chumash Vayikra. And the article Chumashim, they even go to the point of marking it off for you to make sure you don't miss it. They have two stars. It's in Perek Yud Dalet, Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Vav. In between Pasuk Vav and Zayin, Pasuk Vav, it seems Pasuk Vav is what the Mefarshim say is the middle Pasuk. V'hayoshev al hakli, asher yeshev alav hazav, yichabes begodav v'rochatz v'amayim v'tomei ad aref. A person who sits on a utensil upon which a zav has sat, this person becomes tamei, he has to wash his clothing, and he has to wash his flesh in the mikvah, go into the mikvah, immerse in the mikvah, and he's tummy until he means Harav Shemesh. What's the significance? It has to be there's something very deep in this pasuk. Chumash Vayikra is the Chumash of Tahara. It's the Chumash that is selected to be taught to children. And this is the center pasuk. It has to be there's a very deep message here in this middle pasuk. So I want to suggest as follows. In the Megillah it says, "Ihi b'me'ach hashverosh v'chulo v'chulo." The pasuk says, "Kesheves hamelech achashverosh al kisei malchuso." Kesheves. How does the pasuk begin? Kesheves. Kesheves hamelech achashverosh. Chazal take note that there is a chof hadimyon. Okay, this is a medrash. It's a chof kesheves. Why does it say kesheves? Like he sat. It should say bisheves or some other form of v'hoya, some other form of the word. The chof ha'dimyon kisheves allows one to homiletically interpret the pasuk that he wasn't really sitting. He had a twitch. He wasn't really sitting on the chair, Achashverosh. It looked like he was sitting. It was kisheves. It was like he was sitting. But if you look closely, he wasn't very comfortable on that throne. There was something else going on. He was being held up. He was not secure. It was kisheves to the Hamoinam, to the media, to all of the observers. It looked like, wow, he's a king that's secure. He's in the position of authority. He ruled the entire world. Mehodu v'yadku sheva v'veshu mea medina, 127 medinos. What more can you possibly have? Chazal say, it's just a show. It's just a show. It's kisheves. Because the umos ha'olam, even in their greatest state of authority and power and security, it's very weak. It's they're insecure. The only security you have in this world is Torah and mitzvos. That's the only thing that a person, only true security a person has in this world. This is a chazal. It's kisheves. It's insecure. Perhaps we can suggest that that's exactly this is the center of Chumash VaYikra in chinuch, in teaching children Torah. What is the most important thing to teach a child? To teach a child is, don't be fooled by all of the delicacies and ta'anugim, luxuries that this world has to offer, to aspire to power, authority, mammon, kavod. The center of Chumash VaYikra is, v'hayoshev ala kli, to sit on the kli, on the utensil, which means the chair, the bed, or any type of mokoim where people sit. Who sits? Asher yeshev olav hazov. In the Talmud, it's clear as day that every guy is metame like a zof. A guy is not metame like a mace, worse than a mace. Every single non-Jew has a status midrabanan, tum ziva zolim in atayra, for Jews, but Chazal gave a goy the status of a zav. If a goy sits down, if a tamei mei sits down on a chair and is wearing a pair of pants, nothing happens to the chair. The chair is tar. There's no din of transferring tumah when sitting on a chair if you don't make direct physical contact. So if a goy were to sit down on a chair and is wearing a pair of pants and his fingers don't touch the chair is tar. If a zav sits down on a chair, a zav has to be a Jew who has this thing called ziva, which we don't even know what it is, whatever ziva is, it's something that's very similar to shichva zera, we don't know what it is. He sits down on it, then, just as the zav is an avatoma, the chair is an avatoma. Some of the mepharshim say the reason why it's not ideal to go to the har habayis, bizman hazeh, is because it may very well be that we are zavim. Since we do not know the difference between tumas keri and tumas ziva, who are we to say that we are experts, that every single Jew is not a tomei because of ziva? And if because of ziva, so then the regular rules of going to mikvah would not be sufficient. And a zav is not allowed to be, is not allowed to, the laws, without going into the details, are more stringent than the laws of Tumas Meis, and there may be more problems, the more technical problems, going to the Har Habayis if you are in a state of ziv. This is an opinion that is always expressed among the literature that deals with the problem, the difficulties in going to the Har Habayis. But one thing is clear, that a non-Jew, Chazal explicitly state, every non-Jew has the status of a zav. And the pasuk here says, "Vayoshev ala kli asher yeshiv olav hazav." In the world, the goyim, they act in the way of Achashverosh. Kesheves hamelech Achashverosh al kisei malchuso. Achashverosh is the ultimate zav, the ultimate non-Jew. the ultimate Baal Taiva, the Melech of Paras. The ultimate Baal Taiva has to have an Isha every single day, another Isha. What more can you say about the Persians? He sits on the Kisei. If you, of a Jew, come along and want to imitate in some way or form the lifestyle of the Melech HaChashverosh Hayosh, that's Kesheves HaMelech HaChashverosh, then you should know, you do that, you're going to ruin it. Yichabes begodav, you're going to ruin your midos. Begodav is always a code in Chazal for midos. Clothing represents your character traits. Not only that, your neshama will be defiled. Verochatz b'mayim, you have to wash your body. V'tamei ad arev, and to break away from this tumah is not an easy matter. To break out, it takes years and years out of Arv until the Arv of the evening comes, which is symbolic of the end of days, until you break out. The Musar Haskel is Chumash Vayikra, is a Chumash of Tahara. Yavoi Tahorim V'yasek B'Taharais. What's the Panemius? What is the focus, the Merkaz of Chumash Vayikra? This Pasuk. And it's telling you, when you're Chanech Yiladim, the thing to teach them is, don't be fooled by Kesheves HaMelech Achashverosh Al Kisei Malchuso. It's a Chof HaDimyoin. It's a world of imagination. It's a world of Dimyoinos. It's a world of illusion. It's not the real thing. The only real thing is Torah Umitzvos. If you're going to go in their way, you're imitating the you're imitating what it says in this pasuk of Hayoshev Ala Kli Asher Yeshev Lov Hazov. You're ruining your life. You're going to ruin your midos. Hichabe says Begodav Verochas Baman. You're ruining your neshama. V'tomei Ad Orev, and to break out is something which is extremely difficult. What is the proper way to sit? Well, that we know. We know from the Seder. Where do we find a holy form of sitting? What is the parallel to Kesheves HaMelech HaChashverosh Al Kisei Malchuso? Haseba Afilu Oni Shebi Yisrael Ischayev LaHasef. Even the simplest Jew is mechuyev to do haseba. A son before a father is mechuyev to do haseba. A talmud b'fnei rava, you have to ask reshus, but it's ideal. Noshe didon chashive. They also do haseba. What is haseba? What's the makar for haseba? Vayasev Elokim esom derech hamidbar. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Remember who the pasuk? Vayasev Elokim esom derech hamidbar. Yamshuf. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Vayasev. He caused them to take a circuitous route, not to go the normal path. Why? Right, the pasuk says because maybe they'll see the milchama. They'll come in contact with the Palishtim. They'll come in contact with the Goyim, and they'll become afraid, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu took them where? Vayasev Elokim Esom Derech HaMidbar. Hashem took them out to the Midbar. It's a chazal. It's a little Jewish. Vayasev doesn't mean to do Heseba. Vayasev means don't go straight, let's go through a circuit. Let's go through a circuitous route. Let's go through another path. But Chazal take this concept and they express in here lies the theme of Heseba, of sitting. Sitting the way you're supposed to sit, reclining. It's a little bit mysterious, but when you take this idea and you connect it to what we just said, it makes perfectly logical sense. True Heseba is to follow Hashem. Lechteich acharai b'midbar b'eretz loizeruah. So this is what Yirmiyah said about Klaishu. We say this pasuk on Rosh Hashanah, the pasuk of Ahavas kelulo saich, the love of your youth, the love of your nuptials. Lechteich acharai b'midbar, to follow after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you follow in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even to go to the midbar, a place that's free from all influence of the Umos Sa'olam, the Taiva Sa'olam, this is brings true sitting. True, you have a mokoin, you have for yourself a makom in this world, a makom muchsak, a place of security, real security, not like the make-believe security of HaMelech HaChashverosh with the Chof HaDimyon, the illusionary, imaginary Chof HaDimyon. Not like what it says here, the true Heseba, the true sitting to have a makom in this world is to go and follow Hashem, Vayasev Elokim Esa'am, Derech HaMidbar, to go to the Midbar, to connect to what it says in Yirmiyah, Lechtech Achrei BaMidbar, Hashem will always remember the Ahavas Klulo Sayich when we follow him to the Midbar. Okay, that's one idea. Let's go to another idea. We have here, in this week's parasha, the process of Tahara, and the Torah makes it easy for a poor man to also bring his korban. If a person can afford, he brings three animals. If a person cannot afford, then the Torah says that instead of bringing the animals, you can bring two birds. Let me read you the pasuk. It's the beginning of the parasha. I first learned about, you bring the loig of shemen, you bring, and then he brings the animal. Okay, so what are the animals over here? Let me just find the pasuk. Pasuk says we have a keves, that's going to be a chatos, and an oila. Two animals. Two animals, two kivasim. One animal is a keves, one is going to be a chatos. The kohen is going to take the dam, and then there's going to be the osham. And then he's going to take the dam ha-osham, and he's makalo the dam, he takes the dam ha-osham, he puts on the boyin yad, the boyin regel, and the ear. This is the boyin yad, boyin regel, and the ear. This is what is done. This is what it's done for the osher, for the wealthy individual. Then the pasuk goes on to say in Perek Yudal pasuk Chafei, what happens? The imdalhu, you can afford to bring the more expensive carbon. No problem. You can bring now two birds. Fine. And then you bring the osham. You still is the same. The osham does not change. You have to bring an animal. What do you do with the animal? You slaughter the animal. You makabel the blood. The blood goes on your thumbs. What goes on top of the blood? The oil. First blood, and then oil. Everything is the same for an ani as it is for the osher, with one difference. The ani, when he puts the oil on top of the blood, the Torah adds one extra word, and the word is. Let me read the entire pasuk. V'nasan ha'koyin min Hashem nashal kapoy al tenuch oizen hamiter hayemonis v'albon yedo hayemonis, the big toe, the big thumb, v'albon ragle them in the ear. Sorry, the ear. The boyin yado, the hayemonis, the boyin ragu hayemonis, al mikoim dam ha'osham. The oil goes upon the mikoim, the place. The same exact part of the process for the osher, it does not say the word mikoim. By the osher it says, "Miyeser Hashem nashal kapa yitena koin al tinuch oizna amita hayimonis, v'albon yode hayimonis, v'albon ragvoy hayimonis, al dam ha'oshan." So again, the problem is the osher and the ani both require an animal for their osher. The only difference is one, the oil and the chatas, one brings animals and one brings birds. But the osher must be an animal. After you bring the animal, you collect the blood and you apply the blood to the thumb, the ear, and the toe. After you apply the blood, you apply the oil. Where does the oil go? On the same location. By the osher, it does not say the word mikoim. By the ani, it says the word mikoim. Why? Why is the extra word added for the ani and not the osher? So Rashi alludes to the problem. He doesn't explain the difference. He just says that when it says the word mokoyim, it's teaching you a halachic principle that even if in the meantime, before you get a chance to put the oil on the thumb and the toe and the ear, the blood was washed away. You apply the blood to the ear, the thumb, and the toe, and then for whatever reason, the blood was washed away, and now you want to add the oil, there is no blood. Can you do? Yeah, it's okay. On the mokoyim is okay. But Rashi does not explain why it only teaches you this halacha by the Ani and not by the Ashir. So I did see in the Sefer, and it explains the reason is because an Ani could not necessarily afford to bring the Asham Boba, cannot afford to bring the oil on the very same day. He's poor. So today I'll bring the carbon asham. There's a sale on ashams. Okay, buy one, get one free. Half price sale on the asham. So today I'll bring the asham. Oil! I spent my last penny on the carbon asham. So next week when I come back, I'll bring the oil for my tahara. Okay, the Torah says you're poor, you can do it. Even though when you come back next week to bring the oil, the blood of the Asham is no longer on your body. It already dissolved. It's already been washed away. It's okay. But the Asher is wealthy. It's no big deal. In one shot, you bring all of your Korbanos. You bring the oil of the Chatas, the Asham, and you bring the oil as well. You can do everything in one shot. That's a simple interpretation. But still, there has to be something deeper. So I want to suggest the reason why you have the word Makom, it ties into the Haggadah. Haggadah, we also have the Makom. We sit by the Seder. You say, we mentioned yesterday, you should mention by the Dayanim, we say the word Makom three times, in fact. We say, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah Li'amo Yisrael, Big Dushasai, Keneged Arba Banim, Dibre Torah, the introduction to the Arba Banim is Makom. And then we mention Makom again, Kama Ma'lo Islam Makom Aleinu, when we begin the Dayanim. And the question is, why do we mention Makom? And the idea, okay, there are many reasons why we mention Makom, but many of the ideas come from reminding ourselves that we use the word Makom when it comes to Avelus. Avelus, we say, HaMakom, Yinachim Eschem B'Soch Shavel Yitzion. So why do we use the word Makom? Because even in the darkest times, we have to recognize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is there. Makom is a code word for Hashem. Hashem is the Mekoymo Shel Olam. He is the Mekoymo, it's His world. He is all over. We use Yudke Vavke when it's obvious, when you see the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem opens up the heavens and gives us the Torah, when there's a Yom Tif, there are Nisim, Lamal, Lamederech HaTeva, then it's very easy to see that there's a Yudke Vavke, there's a Lokim, there's a Kel. But it's not so easy to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be found even in times of bitterness. Even Bizman Sheyesh Matzah, Umoror, Munochem Lefonecha. When we say the Haggadah, we only have in front of us signs of bitterness. We have the Moror, which clearly is signs of bitterness, and we have Lechem Oini. Lechem Oini means poor man's bread, slave food. Lechem Sh'oinim Dvarim Harbe. The good we don't have, Pesach. Asher Pesach Asher Abotei Mitzrayim. The salvation, that's not on the table. The only thing we have at the Haggadah on the table are signs of difficulty. Lechem Oini, poor man's bread, and bitterness, Marar. The Haggadah is a time where we focus on Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Even though things are not all that easy, we recognize Hashem is the Mekoymo Shel Olam. We're begeder aniyim at the Haggadah. Ha lachma anya. That's how we start the Haggadah. Lachma, it's times of difficulty, we focus on HaMakom. Now it makes perfectly logical sense why it's only by the Ani here in Parashas Mitzrayim is there mentioned that you put the Shemen al dam, al mekoyim dam ha'asham. A rich man doesn't come on to the Makom. The rich man, I did an Aveira, I spoke Lashon Hara. So nu, I'll bring a set of Korbanos, Chatas, Oila, Asham, I'll write out a check and let's get on with life. I made a mistake. You make a mistake, so nu, someone, you made a mistake. Someone, like I know someone, someone put down the new concrete in front of their house. So, cost $2,000. Did a horrible job. The guy had the best ratings, the best recommendations, the best reviews on online reviews on what's it called that site, whatever Yelp, the best reviews. Did a horrible job. So what are you going to do? I don't have another $2,000. That's it. Let bygones be bygones. What can you put Angie's List? What can you do? It's gone. It's too little, too late. You're a gavir. Millionaire, it's a big deal. So you just call someone else, do it again, another $2,000. What's the big deal? Just write a check. You don't sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. The Asher, he brings his Korbanos, he brings the Chatos, the Oila, the Asham, the he puts now, the Shemen. The Shemen's now going to go on the blood. Okay, the oni, the imdalhu, Torah is makir by a poor person. Every step of the process is very painful. That's all he has. He lives a difficult life. He's an oni. When it comes to put the shemen goes al nikoim dam ha'asham. Blood is not a pleasant sight. Blood brings up in the mind an image of pain, of tsar. When he looks at the blood, the Ani has a different impression. He sees the Ribbono Shel Olam. He sees Hashem is the Mekoymo Shel Olam. He sees that the Shemen is being put, not just on the blood, but Al Mekoyim Dam HaAshem. And this fits very well into the Haggadah, because the Haggadah, the focus is always Baruch HaMokoyim, because at the Haggadah, at the Seder, we're all in one respect Aniyim. It's ha lach ma'anya lechem sh'oinin alav dvarim harbe.
What does that fit to the rich person?
What?
The drasha sounds very good.
The rich person cannot possibly see.
If you're making the comparison for the poor in the Seder, what is a rich person when he comes to the Seder? He's also poor?
He has to do the best he can to make himself, put himself in the proper framework. Ha lach ma'anya. That's how the Haggadah begins. The Seder begins with taking a piece of bread, taking a matzah, breaking it into two pieces, and you declare,
one way then. I'm working one way. I mean, you're making comparison on to on point. That again. Then you take an yosher on the carbon.
It's a mitzias. He can't bring himself to see the makom. He can go through the entire process. It's a reality. What? No, they can see it, but the reality of being poor, the reality of being poor puts a person in a different frame of mind. It's a mitzias. It's definitely people that never had to work a day in their life. You cannot tell me that they view life the same way a person who struggles every single day views life. It's just a fact. I know people in the world of halacha. In the world of halacha, is it comes to certain matters of halacha, there are people that never worked a day in their life. What's the big deal? So you just spend the money. You just all the water in New York City should be filtered. You go and spend $1 billion. We'll put filters on $1 billion worth of filters in the entire New York. That's one teeny example. People who don't have what to eat, and now you tell them, okay, so you have to go call the plumber. So it costs $100 to put a filter on your sink. Wait a minute. What did you just say? Another expense. You have to buy kashrus. So we have to do chumra and kashrus. This also needs a hechsher. That's going to cost. It totally changes your focus. Everything is different. It's a mitzias. That's the way it is. I've seen this with people that I know. And they cannot put themselves in the shoes of a person who's struggling. And it's not because they're more religious. It's just because from birth they've had a silver spoon. And that's how it is. It's a reality in life. You have here the Oni, you have the Asher. The Asher, they both spoke Lashon Hara. It's a mitzias. No one wants poverty. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. But when a person, after the fact, is in a situation where he's poor, look at the psukim. They're bringing exactly the same carbon. The Asher, he puts the shemen on the dam, on the blood. So it's blood, big deal, it's blood. So but the Ani, when he puts the blood, the shemen, it's al nikoyim dam ha'asham.
I'm not arguing that side. I'm arguing, how does the usher come to the
event? You do the best you can. You got to do the best you can to put yourself in the right frame of mind. In the right frame of mind. In the right frame of mind. Okay, let's go. Let me tell you one incredible word. I probably told this to you years ago. Yeah?
One thing, almost every leader of Israel came from wealth.
Melech. The Mokoyim Ashein Anilis. Ein Anilis. The Mokoyim Ashiris. It is a goal to be rich. There are many riots to this.
It is. They can't have the same.
I'm just saying that it's difficult. It's difficult. You can't say it's not. The Nisoyin of Ashiris is greater. Enochnam, that proves my point. The Nisoyin of Ashiris is even greater. Enochnam. Okay, let's go to another idea. I want to wind down. Now, this is a very powerful brother by Pelkowitz. The Pelkowitz, he wrote a sefer. Pelkowitz should be well, good and well. He was the rabbi emeritus of the White Shul. Now the rabbi is Rabbi Feiner. So he put out, Rabbi Pelkowitz, he put out a number of years ago a book called Table Talk. No, that's David, that's his son. David Pelkowitz, so he put out a book called Table Talk. We collected some of his best drasha. So he has the avant that is home run, out of this world avant in this week's parasha. He asks a very similar question. We have here the two birds. The two birds are sent out into the field. Two birds. Some of the mafarshim actually say that one bird is slaughtered, and one bird is sent out into the field. It's very similar to Yom Kippurim. On Yom Kippur, they are two similar, identical. One sorry goes la Hashem, and one sorry goes out. They throw it off a cliff, la Azazel. It's thrown out outside. It's not a carbon. It's thrown out, la Azazel. And in fact, there are mafarshim, he doesn't say this, but there are rishon that actually make this parallel, that the two birds, the one that's a carbon, that's going to be slaughtered, and it's going to be applied, and one in the mizbeach, and one that's going to be sent out, is also parallels the sor lazazel. The bird that's being sent away is also like a gift, lazazel. It's a gift to the satan. They actually make that parallel. So he asks a very simple but powerful question. Why is it that on Yom Kippurim, when we have the two seerim, one is La Hashem, one is La Zazel, there's an elaborate ceremony of Goyrolos. We don't just arbitrarily pick which one goes La Hashem and which one La Zazel. Who are you to decide? How dare you? Who are you to decide which animal is going to have the zechus to go lefnai v'lefnim and which animal is going to go off a cliff la zazel? You can't make such a decision. This has to be al pi Hashem. You have a goyrol. There's a whole mesechta yom, a whole perek on this. How to do it, what it looked like, all the technicalities, the whole shulchan aruch to this. When it comes to the two birds, one bird is going to go on the mizbeach. It's going to be tahara on your thumb, your ear, your toe, with a shemen. It's very hot. And the other bird, send it away. Send it away. And according to the Midrash and the Taka said, when you send it away, you know where you're sending it to. You're sending it, who knows where you're sending it to? No man's land. There's no garul. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Pick whichever one you want. Whichever one you want will be La Hashem, whichever one you want. What's the difference? Why is there no difference? So he says as follows. He said, and certainly, to add more to the question, is that one bird is being sent, is going to live. If someone would ask you, if you only can have a girl by one of these two halachas, which one of these two halachas would you assign the girl? The average person would say, well, the birds, because the birds, one is going to die, one's going to live. Life and death, ooh, life and death, that's serious business. Who's going to live, who's going to die? For that, it's not your business to make any decision. Now you need to make a girl. But Shnei Se'idim La'azazel, They're both going to die. By the end of the day, they're not going to be with us anymore. They're both going to be dead. So one will be in the Beis HaMikdash, one will be La'azazel. They're both not going to be alive. So that doesn't need a girl. Pick and choose. One has to go La'ashem. It's a mazel. Anyway, they're both going to die. So wouldn't you argue that if only one of these two should have a girl, it should be the one, the birds, life and death? So Pelkowitz says, you see from this an incredible insight. Life and death is not as serious as Mila Hashem and Mila Azazel. Even though they're both going to go La Azazel, it's a whole different world. If you're devoted to Hashem versus being devoted to Azazel, which means the Koichos of Tumah, the Satan, that is everything. Everything. That needs a girl. Who's going to live? Who's going to die? What difference does it make? You live in this world. If you'll die, so you'll go to Olam Haba. You'll be in the next world. We'll be in a world of Kedusha as well. Olam Haba. We have Emunah. Olam Haba. It's Kedusha here. It's Kedusha there. whether it's going to be whether it's going to be the bird that's going that you're sending out into the field. Okay, we're learning now. We're now working with this yisoid that it's la'azaz. The bird that's going to be sent out is just going to go be sent out. It's going to be sent out to live a life in this world, but it's not going for koichos of tumah. It's just going to live. That's so. What's the difference? This bird will live. This bird will die. This bird will live al kiddush Hashem, and this bird will die al kiddush Hashem. As long as they're both al kiddush Hashem, it's all the same. You don't need to have an elaborate ceremony to make a goral. But when one animal is going to go for kiddusha, and one animal is going to go for azazel for tumah, even though by the end of the day they're both dead, it's a world of a difference. And for such a world of a difference, you have to have a girl. You can't just do this on your own. Okay, to wind down, there's one thing I left out, and one thing I've got to mention, one of those wind down with this is that Vihinei, this is also called Shabbos HaGadol. And Shabbos HaGadol corresponds with Parashas Mitzrayim. Last week's Parashah, there's a pasuk that says, Vihinei lehofach hanega es eino. The nega did not change its appearance, eino. The Baalei Darshanim tell us that the word nega and oneg are the same letters. Ayin, oneg is ayin, nun, gimel. Oneg is Rosh Tevus Eden, Nohor, Gan. It represents what it says in the beginning of the parasha, Unohor Yotzei Me Eden. Eden is the Shoresh. It's the Shoresh of all bracha. And there's a river which goes forth from the Eden, from Eden Lahashkoy Sesagan, toward the garden. Eden is the Makor HaBracha. The Nohor goes forth, and from that Makor, the Gan is watered. A Nega is when something is not right. What is a nega? Is when the oisiyos of Eden, Nohar, and Gan are not in proper order. It means you don't recognize the Makar. You don't recognize the Makar HaBracha. The Nun and the Gimel, the Nohar and the Gan are there, but what about the Eden? The Eden is the Makar HaBracha. It's not in its right location. It's outside. It's been taken out and put at the end. When does a nega, a person, suffer a nega? Is when you lose the proper perspective, when you don't realize the Makar HaBracha. Eden is a mashal for the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's the Makar HaBracha. Unohar Yotzei Me'Eden LaHashkoy Sesagan. This world is the Gan, we are the Gan, and there's a stream of Shefa that comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. If a person loses focus of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Eden, he's all messed up. He's all messed up. That's called the nega. Because you took out the ikar and you put it somewhere else. What is the tikkun? It says in last week's parasha, the tikkun is v'hinei hanega lo'hofach es'eino. The goal is to take the ayin and bring it back. Mahapichet, bring it back. In other words, person has to do tshuva and wake up and recognize the makor habracha, where the makor is the beginning, where it comes from. When the negas mahapiches einoi, oh, you've gone from nega back to oineg, you're back in business. This Shabbos is called Vikarosa la Shabbos oineg. Shabbos is on a kihi mekor habracha. We say this in Nusach HaTfilah. Shabbos is the mekor of bracha. All bracha comes from Shabbos. Shabbos is a zecher meisa bereishis meisa yitzias mitzrayim. Is the mekor habracha. This week is Shabbos HaGadol. You know why it's Shabbos HaGadol? Because it's Shabbos Mitzorah. And Shabbos Mitzorah means vihinei nirpa nega hatzaras min hatzarua. The opening pasuk in this week's parasha. The nega hatzaras has been healed. The nega has been healed, which means that the ayin was mahapich. The ayin has been restored to the beginning. The ayin has been, so we've come to a point where now we're makir, the Eden is in place. We're makir the Makar, we're makir from the Eden, the Nohar is Yotze LaHashkoy Sesagan. This is exactly what Shabbos is. Vikorosa LaShabbos Oineg. Kihi Makar HaBracha. Menele Parshas Mitzoyra is the Shabbos HaGadol. It's the Tahara of the Nega. It's the ultimate Shabbos. The Shabbos when we experience when the Tahara of Negaim is arrived. The Tahara of Negaim represents Oineg. oinek. Shabbos is associated with oinek. Memela, it is the Shabbos Hagadol. Have a wonderful Shabbos.